Happy New Year, boys. Are the Blue Jackets going to lose in 2017? What do you think?
No.
John Tortorella's resolution is to go undefeated the rest of the year.
Amazing. Just amazing. Saturday night's going to be fun. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's do the show.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello and welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick Lacazzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Justin Pasch from the Daily News in just a few minutes. Fellas, Chris Kreider rolling along. That whole first line has been unbelievable.
That whole line is as hot as any line the Rangers have had this year. Those guys look as close as Nick and I look right now in the studio sharing the same microphone. But that line has been the one consistent line for the Rangers over the past 3 weeks.
You know, I didn't like how long Vigneault kept them together, because when they first were put together, they weren't doing anything and the Rangers had no depth. But Vigneault's pushed a lot of the right buttons this year. Brian, we've talked about it almost all year with the exception of a few of the defensemen here. Vigneault's been right on the money, and once again, he was spot on with keeping Zouk up there with him.
Chris Kreider, Matt Zuccarello, and Derek Stepan, 27 points combined over this three-game winning streak. And Stepan was a guy that we talked about previously, Adam, that really wasn't doing anything offensively, and now he's going as well.
He has probably been the Rangers' best forward lately, and it's not just his points. He's the one who's stepped up, like, in the media, and then, you know, with the team talking about those two brutal losses right before Christmas, saying it's not good enough. We know we're better. We have to be better. And he's backed it up.
That two-goal game from Stepan when he stood up in between periods, or I think it was in the first period against the Senators when the Rangers went down 2-0 very quick. The MSG broadcast was calling it Messier-like. I don't know if I'd be willing to go that far. Yeah, but that was a big moment for Stepan. He's one of the guys that the Rangers are depending on to be a leader. They're paying him a lot of money. He's one of those guys who you don't know if he is a number one A-plus center, Brian. In the last few weeks, he's showing it. And if he could find that consistency, the Rangers, especially without Zibanejad, need him to be that guy.
And we talked multiple times about who needs to step up when Nash is out. Zibanejad's out. Buchnevich is out. And Adam, you didn't even blink. It was Kreider. And here he is. He's really turned it up.
It's really those three guys who all needed to step up. You know, those were the three top forwards on the Rangers, and they did it. And Kreider's been great lately. You know, he had that part of the season where he was injured for a while, and then he was disappearing again. I think that was a lot of injury relation. Now he's been really good the last few weeks. He's stepped up. Zuccarello, who hasn't scored in forever. Minus a
ton of assists, though.
Minus just an empty net goal, nine assists in the past six games. Yeah. So he's still racking up the points. And then we were just talking about Stepan. That line's driving the Rangers at a time when they really needed one line to kind of step up above everyone else.
15 goals in 33 games for Chris Kreider, Nick.
He's been great. Yeah. He's been everything that the Rangers have needed from him. I mean, you saw
him. He now has more goals than Michael Grabner. Finally.
Something no one thought would happen. Right.
Yeah. You saw it in the preseason with Kreider kind of taking that next step. And then early on, he gets the concussion and it sets him back for a few games. And here he is, Brian. Look, when push comes to shove, the Rangers needed to tread water through all these injuries. And there were times where things weren't looking good. But they did it, and now you're looking at maybe 3-4 games away from really getting back one to maybe all three of these guys between Nash, Zibanejad, and Buch, and that's huge. I mean, they're still in the heart of the playoff race. The division's not really out of touch. I mean, Columbus has to lose at some point, right? They treaded water, and you really look, they had their breakdowns, they had their low points, but I think you saw a lot of what this Ranger team was made of in fighting through these injuries.
And this, we've talked about Kreider forever, really, since we started doing this show 2 years ago. He doesn't have to score every night, but we need to see him become that premier power forward that everybody, I mean, he's always shown flashes, but he's got to bring it out more consistently, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
He doesn't even need to shoot the puck to score. Puck just needs to hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think half his goals are just being, you know, standing in the right place. But you're right, Brian. He needs to always be using his speed. He needs to get in on the forecheck. They love to run that, you know, alley-oop play where they flip the puck up in the air and get him down the ice to try and beat the ice. And, you know, those are the things Kreider has to do. And then when he has the puck and he can go to the net with speed, you know, there are very few guys in the league who can bring that much power to the net. And Kreider has shown he can do that. And I probably something he's learned from Rick Nash, because that's one of the things Nash does better than anyone else in the league.
I think it was away for the from the puck where Chris Kreider needed the most improvement. And like you guys have said, that's what we've seen. That, you know, that's what Kreider's brought to the table. It's not only with the puck. It's not just his shot. It's not the power moves. It's not just that he's gotten better at screening the goaltender on the power play. His all-around game, his confidence has improved. And, Brian, he's basically there as far as becoming an elite power forward in the NHL.
Adam, do we get excited about this three-game winning streak, or do we have to take quality of opponent into account here?
I think you have to take a little bit of both. I think that there were times in both games, especially the last two games out west or in Arizona and Colorado.
Colorado's a mess, man.
Colorado is a mess. And but at the same point, that game was tied at one point. Yeah. And so was the game in Phoenix, in Arizona. I don't even know.
Glendale.
Wherever.
The desert.
Wherever Shane Doan's still playing. Right. You know, there were times where the Rangers were the better team throughout the 60 minutes in those games, and the scores ended up reflecting how the games were played. But there were times when it was tight, and it was tied, and, you know, the Rangers needed to reach down and, you know, grab the puck, grab the lead, and they did.
It wasn't the Rangers' best performance. I think if they were playing better teams, they might not have won both games. But they got the job done. And in the NHL, you have to take advantage when you're playing these lesser teams, if you will. And the Rangers, without a top line, aren't a top-tier team in the NHL. When they're missing Nash and Zibanejad, they're not a Stanley Cup contender. But they treaded water. And now when they get them back, that's when we'll see if the Rangers are a Stanley Cup contender.
I think the biggest thing is that we'll get into this a little bit more later in the show, but they've tightened up defensively. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from these past couple of weeks here is that, you know, we've been ripping Klein left and right, and he's deserved it, obviously, but Holden's been fantastic. McDonough's been pretty good. They're playing better in their own end of the ice.
They've definitely tightened up, and to bring it back to Kreider for a second, he had one shift over the weekend where he back-checked like crazy. Yeah. He was way out of the play. He got in there. He broke up a play. And it's not just the defenseman. It's the forwards coming back, too. That's gotten a lot stronger lately.
Vigneault was tough on JT Miller about the back-check, much to the chagrin of a lot of Ranger fans. But the fact of the matter was that Miller responded pretty darn well to that. And you guys are exactly right. I think the back-check from the forwards was lacking. The forecheck wasn't good. They got sloppy. They were trying to get goals by being more offensive. And with this defense that the Rangers have, you can't do that. They fixed it a little bit these past few games. It's still something that they need to work on. But with the defense playing better, Brian, and getting healthy, there will be a tough team to beat.
We have Justin Tash on the phone. Justin, Brian, and Nick, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We've been talking about Chris Kreider ad nauseum, but obviously with this show, with the way he's been playing. What's changed in Kreider's game, Justin?
Well, you can see certainly on Saturday when he had the hat trick in Denver that getting to the net was definitely a big factor for him that night. All three of his goals came from within 15 feet. Two of them on the power play. Two of them kind of bounced off his body. So a little puck luck involved there. But you know, you kind of make your own luck when you get into those dirty areas and you're putting in the effort to get down low, and that's a big part of his game. And Alain Vigneault said that night after the game that, you know, it's always been there for him, which, you know, sometimes it's not, but it has been more often than not. But when you see him scoring a lot of goals, that is definitely a big factor in his game. And you know, certainly that entire line has been really hot as of late. Zuccarello and Stefan have done a great job as well, so that line has really carried the Rangers over the last week to 2 weeks offensively, and they've needed it certainly with some of the injuries that they've had. But there's no doubt Kreider, red hot lately, 6 goals over his last 4 games, had 11 goals in the month of December, so definitely a big plus for the Rangers.
Justin, what's your take on the Rangers' mini rebound here? Now, I don't think they played top-tier competition, and I don't think their game was at its peak, to say the least. But to respond like they did after going down 2-0 against Ottawa, and then turn it into a 3-game win streak, does it say something about this team?
I think it says a little something. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, listen, they were playing the two worst teams in the league. You know, even strength play could have been better, absolutely. But, you know, you score six goals a game, and they all of a sudden they're starting to look a little bit like the Rangers from the beginning of the season, where they were scoring goals at will, and you know, they're always looking for quality over quantity when it comes to shots, and I think their 5-on-5 shooting percentage this season, 9.9%, which is the best in the league. You can argue whether that's sustainable or not, but that's definitely been a big factor. You know, the rest of this week will be a much better barometer, I think. I mean, they play Buffalo tonight at home, but then tomorrow in Philly, and then Saturday they got the big game in Columbus before their bye. So, you know, they'll definitely have to play a little bit better 5-on-5. But, you know, I think it definitely says something that, you know, after they fell down 2-0 against Ottawa and Derek Stepan kind of tried to light a fire under the team, that they did respond, that they kind of nipped their little rough stretch there in the bud and didn't keep it from going on too long. I mean, they haven't had a losing streak of more than 2 games all season, which is pretty impressive.
How about Nick Holden, Justin? 20 points through 39 games. One of those under-the-radar moves from Jeff Gorton over, you know, during the summer. I don't think anybody saw this coming. He's been fantastic.
No, he's been really good. Yeah. Definitely a pretty shrewd move, it's looking like right now, by Jeff Gorton. They traded a fourth-round pick for him. They needed some more bodies defensively after Keith Daniel and Dan Boyle left. And, he's been more productive than he's ever been. You know, he had a couple goals in that Ottawa game. And, he's in this system, it's good for defensemen. If you're, getting up in the attack, you can get a lot of goals and assists. I mean, you see it. Obviously, Ryan McDonagh has a ton of assists this year. Brady Shea has a lot of assists in his rookie season. And Nick Holden is, he's on a good balance pair with Mark Stahl and allows him to kind of get up in the play. Both of those goals he scored against Ottawa were product of him, you know, being up in the play. Granted, you know, not great goaltending on either of his goals there, but, again, it comes down to being in the right position at the right time. And, he's been really solid defensively. He's been versatile. He's been up and down, first pair, second pair, third pair, but mostly lately with Stahl on playing his offside, really. I mean, he's comfortable playing the right side, but he was a natural lefty. He's been a big, steady player for the Rangers thus far, and they definitely needed it.
I want to stay on the back end here. Kevin Klein is a guy that I think the Rangers thought they knew what they were going to get coming into the season, and he really hasn't lived up to the expectations, not only that he set throughout his whole career, but also last year when he had almost a career year. But it looks like now he's starting to turn the corner a little bit. Do you think he's getting there and he's going to become a guy the Rangers can once again rely on?
I agree with you. I think he's getting there. Obviously, it hit a low point for him at the start of December when he was scratched. Alain Vigneault straight up said that he thought Kevin Klein could be playing better. He sat for one game for Clendenning and then came back into the lineup. And he's been better, and he's now Alain Vigneault trusts him at this point to play on the top pair with Ryan McDonagh when, the last couple of games he's put Dan Girardi with Frank Shea. So I definitely think he has turned the corner a little bit, but, I think definitely consistency, they talk about it all the time, it's a big factor, and especially if you're going to play on that top pair, you need to bring that consistent effort night in and night out, and, it helps when you're playing with a guy like Ryan McDonagh. I mean, you're always going to be, all of those underlying statistics are always going to be a little bit better when you're playing with a guy like that, so that definitely helps.
You mentioned Brady Shea getting the assist, Justin. He's got 15 in 38 games, obviously just the one goal. But where do the Rangers stand on Shea's development? Are they happy with where he is right now?
Yeah, I would say they're fairly happy. I mean, they definitely see a lot of potential. And, his game had kind of slipped a little bit. He was basically punished for a bad play at the end of that Pittsburgh game when they lost 7-2. 11 seconds left in the game, he kind of played a puck pretty lazily behind the net and allowed Pittsburgh to get another goal there. But, there's no doubt that he's a talented young guy. He's only 22 years old, yeah. And, he's got a good offensive flair. He's a good skater. And I think, I do think there's a lot of potential for him. I think he can get much better. It'll be interesting to see if they try him again on the right side. Last year they had him working on the right side a lot in Hartford, and then he played there when he got his late season call up. They played him on the right side for a 3-game stretch earlier this year. I believe it was their swing through Western Canada, and then they kind of just switched everything back to the way it was. But, you know, it would be interesting to see him get a big segment of games on the right side, considering that right side is definitely the weaker of their two sides on defense, and see if they have an internal answer there for strengthening that right side. But, you know, I think they're overall pretty happy. He didn't have a great preseason. He's definitely overall taken a good step forward.
It sounds like Henrik Lundqvist is getting the start against the Sabres. I'd imagine he gets 2 out of 3 this weekend, Justin. An inconsistent year, probably the most inconsistent year of his career, really, through the illness this past week and just some lulls in his game. Do you think he gets it back on track, or has his game taken a little bit of a decline with age?
Well, for me, it's hard to say that he's declined, because, you know, he has had stretches like this before, and it seems like every time, you know, he eventually gets there. And as you mentioned, lately it was a very weird month for Lundqvist. I mean, from sitting out those 4 straight games healthy, first time in his career, something he's not used to at all. He comes back in those 3 games, he plays pretty well. Then he, you know, has the rough night against Minnesota. Then he has the flu, and then he comes back. So he's only played 5 of the last 12 games, which is, you know, he says all the time that playing a lot helps him get into his rhythm. You know, he would play 82 games if he could. That's just his mentality. That's his competitiveness level. I think we're going to see Henrik Lundqvist in form, you know, as the season moves forward here, barring any sort of other sicknesses or unforeseen injuries or anything like that. But I think Lundqvist is going to be the guy that the Rangers and everyone expect moving forward, and he's going to be a huge player for them as they try to establish themselves as one of the top teams in the Metro, competing with Pittsburgh and Columbus and Washington in just one of the craziest divisions we've seen in a while.
It's unbelievable. It really is. Last question before we let you go, Justin. Sounds like Nash could play as early as Saturday. I don't know if I agree with that with the bye week coming up. I would just give him the extra week. Where is Buchnevich as well? Where do Nash and Buchnevich stand right now?
Well, yeah, Nash possibly could return before the bye, and I get why some people would say, well, you know, if he can only play 1 game before the bye, just hold him out, be cautious, but you know, he's their best forward. So if he's healthy, he feels like he's 100% and he's ready to go, you know, especially against that team on Saturday night, his old team, the hottest team in the league right now, team that if they keep winning could be going for a record 18th consecutive win against the Rangers on Saturday night. I could certainly understand why Nash would play. Buchnevich, still in a non-contact jersey, but it seems like he's getting closer. He skated while the team was away on its road trip, and I think it's only a matter of time before he gets cleared for contact. Right now it seems like conditioning is just the biggest thing. He went a while without skating. He really focused on strengthening his core, this little rehab stint he had. But I could see him returning not immediately after the bye, probably shortly after the bye, and Mika Zibanejad, they'll hope, will return around the same time before the end of this month as well, probably a little bit after the bye if everything goes well for him.
That would be huge for the Rangers' playoff push for sure. Justin, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Happy New Year, my man.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys, too. Take care.
Justin Tash, the Rangers beat reporter for the Daily News. Zibanejad, we didn't even talk about him. It would be huge if the Rangers get him back before the end of the month.
I think that it's possible he comes back around the All-Star break, which is obviously the end of the month. But I think that he just started to skate. He's still non-contact. I think that he's still the third guy to come back. But when he does come back, I think the Rangers are all of a sudden going to have all of those good problems to have again.
Yeah.
They're going to have tough questions to ask about who's going to come out of the lineup then.
It's really, I mean, the guy's got to start scoring, keep scoring to play when it comes down to it, because when the Rangers get healthy, I mean, Pumple's putting up a hat trick. Peary's got to step his game up if he wants to stay in the lineup. The Rangers, like you said, they're going to have that big problem of too many guys up front.
They keep finding ways, right? I mean, the forward depth has been tested. The defense has not been good. The goaltending with Lundqvist hasn't been what we all expect. They keep finding ways to get points.
What's interesting about this team is obviously their forward depth, and that they do have guys who can be inconsistent scorers, but all of a sudden, Kevin Hayes can just create a play. Like, they have guys now who, if they're down a goal late, they have enough talent to tie the game, push games into overtime, take leads late. Like, they haven't always had that in the past. And when the Rangers are healthy, you will have four, at least one guy on each line. More than one on, obviously, the top three lines. But you'll have guys who can create on every line. And that's something that, you know, the Rangers haven't had before. Their depth, which we talked about at length at the start of the year, is about to be, hopefully, no one else gets hurt, a huge strength again.
I think what the Rangers showed throughout all these injuries is that when healthy, they're an upper echelon team. There are not many elite teams in the NHL. I don't think the Rangers are in that category yet. I don't think they will be.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
But when healthy, I don't think they're far off. I think their defense needs some work. And if the Rangers show that they are this good and they come back healthy and they keep winning games and they hide some of these mistakes on the defensive end and some of the deficiencies there, I don't know if they're one piece away, one healthy on the back end. But if it's more than one, it's not more than two or three.
And if Hank gets another illness or something happens to him, they can always get Yaroslav Halak. He's available.
Yes, of course. The most sought-after goaltender in the league, Yaroslav Halak.
What a disaster.
I don't know what Garth Snow is doing over there.
I'm not sure he knows either. You can check out the Islanders Punk Bike Podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to speak with Brendan Burke, the Islanders TV voice. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Punk Bike Podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Fellas, before we go, I hope the Blue Jackets keep this rolling going at the Saturday, because that would be must-see TV for sure. That would be awesome.
I wanted to say first, I heard a rumor that Garth Snow's coming out of retirement just to bring the three-goalie plan back to the Islanders.
Right.
He misses it. It would be really cool to see Columbus go on the streak. Obviously, they're a rival, but it's always really cool to see these kinds of things happen, and I wouldn't love it if they had to beat the Rangers to get there, but it would be very interesting for John Tortorella in that game.
There's so many storylines. You have Nash go back to Columbus. You have the Tort storyline, obviously, and just the 14-0 in December in this division. It's unbelievable.
It would seem well scripted if it ends up with Columbus hosting the Rangers.
Be awesome.
for the NHL record of most consecutive wins. They got some work to do, though. They got two pretty darn good teams
Edmonton
this week before they get to the Rangers. I mean, McDavid and Ovechkin aren't pushovers. You don't want to get too far ahead, but hey, it would be something to see that Kreider-Tortorella rivalry pick up some steam again, and Nash back in Columbus one more time.
And there's one other interesting stat. I don't have it exactly, but I believe that if the Rangers continue to win, that game against Columbus is a game where Alain Vigneault can pass John Tortorella on the wins list for Rangers coaches.
How about that?
I don't know if that's exactly lines up that way, but that is something that's close, and shows you Wayne Vigneault's won a lot of games.
You know, I tell you, watching those World Cup pre-tournament games in Washington back in September, and then how Team USA performed at the World Cup, I mean, they were dreadful. We were at least I was questioning if the game had passed John Tortorella by. The style that he likes to play, could it work in today's NHL? And those players have bought in. Bobrovsky's been great. Zach Werenski's been unbelievable. Kudos to John Tortorella. Nobody saw this coming.
You even hear the players talk now, and it sounds like they speak differently about it. I mean, just reading the Brandon Saad article, I think it was in the Players Tribune, about just how much they love Tortorella and how behind him they are. I mean, it's a little early to make this comparison, but it almost reminds me of Tom Coughlin before the first Giants Super Bowl, when he really lost that locker room, and Tiki left, and Strahan wasn't happy, and the Giants were a mess. And then something clicked, and Coughlin changed, and they said he became more of a human, more lovable. He took on a little bit of a different role. I don't know if Torts did that same thing, but he had to change something up to get them to respond the way they did. But that team is bought in.
I'm as big of a Torts fan as there is. I think what he did with the Rangers was great. I think that he laid the groundwork with the structure and the determination and competitive level that a lot of these guys play with. But at the end of the day, if you have a good goalie, you become a good coach again.
Yeah.
And Sergei Bobrovsky's been excellent this year. And I think that you can't – I agree with everything Nick said about what he's done. But at the end of the day, Sergei Bobrovsky's going to win the Vezina this year.
And, wow, look at that.
Well, he has like he's half great. A goal a game.
He's Quartz great. Is going to win the Jack Adams. The way this is going, right?
I think that they should combine those awards.
It's going to be a lot of fun Saturday night, fellas. Great show. See you next week. Thanks again to Justin Tash. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.